All right, guys, welcome to Game Chat this week, where we are discussing episode 5, the last and final episode of season 3, A New Frontier, The Walking Dead, Telltale. It's a lot of colons. We'll go start with intros. So say your name. We'll go down the list of who you'll be hearing in this chat. So say your name as well as what you're going to be for Halloween, if you're dressing up to go anywhere, or what was the last thing you dressed up as for a Halloween long past. And go.
All right, it's Franco, and God, oh, geez. Favorite Halloween costume when I was a kid. My parents made sort of it was multifunctional. It was like a big black robe with a hood, so you could be the Grim Reaper or a monk or many other things. So nice. Multifunctional. So nice. Just tough getting around in, that's all.
Yeah, for sure. And next?
This is Jonathan. I haven't dressed up for Halloween for a couple years, but back in college, I won a costume contest for dressing up as the Penguin from Batman.
Yeah.
And I had an umbrella. I bought spats and a purple top hat. And yeah.
Look at you.
It was a lot of fun. I won a Starbucks gift card.
Nice. My name is Madeline. I always dress up for Halloween. Lately, I've been planning it out since the summer. This year I'm going to be a Gretsuko. She is a red panda Sanrio character. I'm really excited.
That's so exciting. I am so excited to see that costume. So excited. Next.
I'm Kevin, and I don't really go out much for Halloween, for something special, I'm dressing up as Mae Borowski. So, well, gender bent. So,
yay!
You know.
You totally need to take a picture, Kevin, and share with us whenever. Next.
This is Chris, and I think the last time I dressed up for Halloween was when I was working at a grocery store. Back, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last remembrance of me actually dressing up. But I think I was dressed as Dracula at the time.
Ooh, so, nice.
Yeah.
I love Halloween costumes. I'm Steph, and I didn't dress up as anything this year. But probably my favorite Halloween costume was, well, I dressed like this for a couple of as cosplay for a couple of Comic Cons the past 2-3 years in different outfits. But the first time in junior high that I dressed as Tomb Raider for a Halloween, I just loved it. I loved it. So that was my favorite probably Halloween costume.
Excellent.
Had the tank top and the shorts, boots. I was feeling good. But I think I also borrowed I was gonna say, I think I took pictures with an unloaded gun. But I didn't take that trick-or-treating. So
I would hope not.
It would be a very short trick-or-treating.
No guns.
Just me, you don't want a treat. You don't want a trick.
That was so cool. Anyways, so again, welcome to Game Chat. Again, we're talking about episode 5 of season 3 of the Walking Dead Telltale series. So to start this off, we ended the chapter last time. We thought that Kate could have possibly been dead because she drove the truck in. It hit a horde of zombies, and things just got out of control. David had shot someone. Everything was chaotic. So we start this episode amidst the chaos. Well, first of all, we started with a flashback. So we always like talking about these flashbacks because they're always interesting. So this flashback, we see kind of a nice scene with like Javi, David, and their father, who is now deceased. He died at the, or he turned to a zombie at like the first episode. There were things I liked about the scene and things I didn't. What did you guys think about this flashback? Did you feel like it prepared you for the episode or that it played into the rest of the episode?
I mean, I liked the flashback okay compared with all the other flashbacks. I mean, this was one of the better ones. But as far as like setting up the rest of the episode, I mean, to me, it was like, this is stuff that should have been set up 3 episodes ago, you know? I felt like I already knew where they wanted to go in this episode. It kind of felt unneeded for the big finale.
Yeah.
I've been saying this the entire time we've been discussing this, but it's like, they should have played off David being sympathetic and being your brother way early on rather than half the game and then be like, oh nope, he's your brother, you gotta trust him, brothers everything. Blood.
I'm trying to remember what this flashback was.
It was they played dominoes and then
that one where they discovered that the father has cancer.
Yes, exactly.
Also, have any of you guys actually played dominoes?
Yes, I have.
Full dominoes, I think.
My grandparents like have been playing dominoes every week for the past like 15 years. But I laughed when like, I forget who said it in the episode, but it was like, it's all skill. You know, because David won dominoes. He was like, it's all skill. And I'm like, there's really not a whole lot of skill in dominoes. Like,
it depends on which game. Because, like, my grandparents play 42 all the time. And by, like, about the third round, they know who has what. So it depends on which kind of dominoes you're playing.
So they're counting dominoes instead of counting cards.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
I never knew you could bet with dominoes. That was something like, oh, okay.
Also, it's pretty crap because the dominoes you have to play, David has the one that could play on either, so you will lose regardless.
Yeah. So I noticed. I was like, oh, well, that's pointless.
Your choices don't matter.
But, I agree with that. Like, I feel like that this should have been earlier on in the season rather than here. This is the very end. This is what kicks off the final episode to close out the season. I liked the flashback, although I just cannot. I feel like that they are just pushing David on us so hard about him just being a jerk. It is consistent. It is, and I'm just like, I know that there are people like that out there, but it was just, it was so, it was nonstop.
It was distracting.
Everything Javi said, like, David was like, whoa, no. And I'm just like, yes, this tells me again that no one agrees with Javi. Everyone is always egging on Javi for whatever decision he makes, like even his dad. Well, at least for me at the end, because like I sided with the dad when like David was saying something, like was yelling at their dad about not telling their mom and about not taking the treatment, and David wanted to pay for it, and you know, he was like, I don't want to spend the end of my life, you know, in that it's too expensive, like save your money for other things. I don't want to spend the end of my life like that. And, you know, and David, so it's up to you to either side with David or your dad. I side with dad. And then after David stormed off, dad was like, you should have sided with your brother.
Yeah.
I was like, what? No!
Oh, yeah. And I also find it stupid that, like, all the other episodes in flashbacks, usually the end decision was an important decision, and in this episode, it doesn't count as, like, one of the key important decisions.
Yeah.
Really. I think it does have some shape on how you act towards towards it, possibly. But they don't count it as one of, like, the big five decisions. And I'm like, what?
Exactly, yeah.
The important one is the first one is what we'll be discussing later. Yeah, but
right.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, I agree.
Which, that's for another discussion, but I think that's a bigger problem with, like, Telltale aging in general, the fact that all these choices, but it's like they always tell you, here's the five that mattered. It's like,
here's the five that made any difference whatsoever. And getting to that, segue to that, since there's a lot to talk about and we are going to be grading at the end of this conversation, we'll be scoring everything, so that will take some time. I'm going to just kind of go through the important decisions first and see what everyone thought, along with some extra things that go along with those. If I skip over something you want to talk about, just feel free to speak up. So the first important decision, as Kevin was saying, was standing, like, David gets upset with you. I think, like, is this where he ends up, like, pushing Gabe to the ground? Or no, is that later on?
That's later on, I think.
Okay.
The whole pushing Gabe to the ground and fighting thing actually happens before all of this. When you get back to present, you go in the truck. She's not there. And then David thinks that some zombie is Kate. And then Kate goes and, like, whacks the zombie in the head. And then they all run
inside. Kate's not dead. Surprise.
Kate's not dead, guys.
Gabe and Clementine go with David to go and, like, board up some of the other doors, and you go upstairs and then have the confrontation with the one woman.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
The woman's husband is there. Depending on whether or not you killed him in episode
not one. Mine.
No, he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Who was there, Jonathan, for you instead of some random guy?
No, it was just Eleanor. Eleanor and Rufus's wife. And she was crying because she couldn't find her daughter. And then David just, like, you don't know who this woman is. You're dealing with Eleanor because it's Eleanor. And you're trying, like, and then someone's like, it's like she's lost her kid and they're kind of blaming it on you, you know, because you did kind of cause all this crap, you know. But then David pops up and he's just like, yeah, her husband was Rufus, who you killed in cold blood. Thanks, David. Thanks. And then what's her name? What was her name? The wife?
It's not really important.
Fern.
Anyways, she Fern. Fern. Yeah. Fern. She pulls a gun on me, which I don't know if that happens in the rest of them.
She pulls a gun
on me. Yeah, no matter what.
Okay, so then everything else plays out normal. It was just, but if I hadn't, like, I was like, wait, who is Rufus? Like, I was like, at this point, I've killed everybody.
Jonathan's a cold blood killer in his game.
I didn't mean to.
Did you admonish David, like, because David ends up, I don't know if everyone's played through one like this, like, he ends up shooting her husband, or, like, what, like, did David shoot anyone in your game, Jonathan?
No,
he just breaks
her
arm.
I'm having like a confrontation with Fern, and I'm like trying to calm her down, and then David comes out of nowhere, like, breaks her arm brutally, like compound fracture, just breaks her arm.
Yeah,
and then he's going to shoot her.
Yeah, then he just goes to, like, shoot her again.
Yeah,
and
everybody freaks out. Yeah,
it's chaos, but you have the decision to either be like, you know, because Gabe's freaked out at this time. Oh, I know in my playthrough, like that's when he pushes Gabe to the ground because Gabe tries to stop him.
Yeah, I said to him, "Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, like, what are you doing?"
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, was that really necessary?
Right.
I think I just sided with Gabe. Like, I was trying to like calm everybody down at that point.
Yeah.
Except Eleanor. I straight up did not forgive Eleanor.
Eleanor. Like,
wow.
I liked you at the beginning, but now you're just you're a jerk to Trip.
Yeah, I have no clue like why she was written that way to like blame you. Like, she was standing there blaming you for everything, and it's like, well, you're the one that talked to Joan about, like, you're like, you...
yeah, and you showed
I feel like she was coerced.
Well, for those of you listening, Kevin found a Reddit AMA that was originally from the Telltale website. And on it, they said that initially Eleanor was written to be Joan's daughter, and that was
I missed that part.
Cut.
Wow.
That was cut. But looking at the pieces that are left, I can totally see more sense than what.
For sure.
Yeah.
That would totally make sense.
She was semi-cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I felt like in the short dialogue you had with Eleanor at the beginning of this episode. Like, what she was saying was kind of making sense, but I'm like, but the fact that, like, you know, they still had Trip, like, on the shooting block, like, the fact that she was just, like, okay with that, you know, but, like, you know, she was saying how, like, she was a doctor, like, she's a nurse, she's like, I could do actual good here. Because they have supplies and the doctor's dead, at least in mine, the doctor's dead. Yeah. so like she would say, she's like, I could do actual good here rather than just out there barely keeping people alive. And it's like, okay, that makes a little more sense, but not quite enough to get me to being okay with this writing.
She was upset with me when Trip ended. She was genuinely upset though when Trip got killed.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, Trip survived in mine, and she did not mention him at all.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
So after all that happens, David goes up to the roof, which kind of goes into the first quote unquote important decision is that you can either, which is such a little decision, like you can either like. Because David's like standing on the precipice of the roof, so he's standing like up on, up on the very ledge of it. So you can either like he kind of asks you to step up with him, to stand like right there on the ledge, and you're kind of, or at least Ike was like, is he going to push me off? Like,
yeah.
Like he just tried to shoot like two people, or he did shoot someone, and then that was turning, and then he almost shot her, you know, the wife. So you can either step up with him or you can be like, I'm not going to do that. What did you guys decide and why?
I stepped up on the ledge, and I just want to say at this point and then for the rest of this episode that I got the feeling I was playing 10 little Indians. It was like, I'm just waiting for the hammer to drop on each character. It's like, when are they going to die?
Yeah.
But no, I stood up with him and, you know, and tried to.
Is there a reason you chose that besides not standing with him?
Good question. I guess I didn't want to, you know, again, being the mushy middleman, trying not to antagonize him anymore.
Yeah.
And feel, you know, trying to keep him in the herd, so to speak.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a bro. So I stood with him.
Okay. All right.
I stood with him because I was kind of like, I just went into my optimistic view and I'm like, we're all going to be fine. One big, happy, dysfunctional family. Yes, I'm stealing his wife, but he's military. He'll get it. He'll be cool with it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, dear John him.
Well, no, but like, I'm like, he abandoned her, and like, even like in the beginning, I'm the only one who romanced Kate this entire time, right?
Yeah.
No, I romanced her.
Oh.
Okay. Well, when like you think she's dead and you're looking for her, and then she like comes in, saves the day, and big reveal, she's alive. You know, she immediately comes and hugs Javi, because you know, at the end of last episode, I confessed my love and we made out and all sorts of stuff. And so like she immediately like she just hugs me and like barely acknowledges David. And David sees this and like he makes a face.
Oh yeah.
And for a second it looks like he's gonna be mad, but then he like saves you and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing? Watch where you're."
Yeah.
He's like, "Watch your surroundings." And in my head, I was like, "Oh, okay, he's not stupid. He sees what's going on, and like he's like, they're my family, we'll deal with it later," kind of thing. That would have been the good writing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas later on, he's like, "What?" Like,
Yeah.
Well, even if you don't romance Kate, like she comes to you immediately, or she did with me. She came to me immediately. She didn't hug me, but she just came up to me and just was, you know, checking on me. Didn't even look at David.
Well,
David made the face.
Also, I'm trying to think. Has like she like really said anything to David, like since you guys got to Richmond?
Not on camera.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I stood with David because like he was on the verge of cracking, and I'm like, no, we could push through this because we're family.
Did anyone not stand with David? Okay. Wow. Yeah, I stood with David because I was, again, it was kind of like you, Jonathan. I was like, oh, I'll do this. Like maybe it will kind of get on his good side. Like he seems a little bit on edge, literally and figuratively.
So I stepped up there
and I then he was smiling and that really made me nervous. Did anyone, like, I liked what he said on the ledge, though, when he was talking to you. I think it gave a little too late, but some deepening to his character and kind of an explanation on how he is. Because that's when he was talking about looking at the city. This is how I see things. I'm a soldier. Even though, in a way, like, it was kind of crap what he was saying, but I think that he... You know, I could kind of, I don't know, see him, his character kind of reasoning with that kind of logic.
I would have loved to get that way earlier.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah.
That was kind of what I got a lot from this episode, was like, it was in this episode that I'm like, whoa, the characters are developing. The characters are becoming characters. You know, it's like, this should have been an ongoing thing, but it was like all of a sudden now it's like, oh, I get David as a character. Oh,
yeah.
Kate's doing things. Oh, Gabe's standing up for himself and developing. Yeah. You know, even Clem and Gabe's relationship is evolving.
Even
in mine, you know, Tripp's still alive, and it's like even conversations with Tripp after you publicly said, "Hey, kill Tripp," you know. Your discussions with Tripp, it all, like, it made sense character-wise. And, like, the way Tripp responded to you and the way you guys got over that. It's like, it was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, characters. Not weird betrayals and political conspiracies and cake versus spinach choices.
Yeah, convenient guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you guys feel about, because, I mean, from what I understand, I mean, I chose Ava to die, and she survived, of course, because they killed Tripp instead. And I'm pretty sure that this also ends up with Tripp, but Ava just ends up dying anyways in the episode.
Yeah.
Everybody die. They both die no matter what.
So how do you guys feel about that? Because like it seems like that was a big decision. I mean, that was an important decision and important choice in episode 4, only to be like, oh, it doesn't matter because they're going to die.
Really uneventful
deaths anyways. Like I don't know
or slapstick.
How did anyone, so Jonathan, you had Trip alive. How did he die?
I imagine the same way you guys, like when you're doing the weird helicopter
pole
vault.
Yeah.
He gets overrun and falls.
How stupid.
For us, Ava falls in the car shifts when you're scooching along past the car. The car shifts. And Ava's like, oh, push you out of the way and fall down in a very comical way.
And then zombie falls down on top of her.
Do a Wilhelm scream though, so I'm grateful for that. Because if they had done that, it would have just ruined everything. I would have lost all faith in the team.
Oh gosh, yeah, that is bad. No, with Trip during the car precipice thing, the car shifts and Javi almost falls, but then Trip's like Javi, take my hand, and like you take Trip's hand and Trip like steadies you, and and you can have like talk it, because like at this point like I love the conversation with Trip, because like Trip's angry with you, but he says that he's like, but if I put myself in my decision, I can't be mad at you, like as far, because he's like, even he even talks about Conrad, he's like, if someone was holding a gun to my nephew's head, I would have shot them too, no matter who it was. Mm-hmm. So he's like, and then you like both acknowledge that the whole Joan thing was just effed up. Mm-hmm. And so like you and like Trip have like an actual like pretty awesome character bonding moment. Mm-hmm. And so like you save him, like he saves you at the car. Then when you leave, you could say like, thanks Trip, I'm so glad you're here. And he's like, no problem, Javi. You know, he's like, you know, and it's like this real nice, like, yes, aww, I like Trip. And then during the helicopter propeller thing, you know, you're doing it by like, you know, they said lightest to heaviest.
Mm-hmm.
And Trip is just straight up just like he tells Javi, he's like, I don't care what you say, I'm going last. He's like, I'm going last. And then when Javi falls, Trip's just like, just go. Aww. And you have the choice to stay and like you could either just like say, okay, we need to go, or try to like help him. And so I tried to help him, and so like we're like emptying our clips into the zombies trying to help him. But then eventually he runs out of bullets and the zombies kind of like hoard against him and he falls off the bridge.
Yeah.
And part of me still kind of held up the hope, because they didn't show it. They just showed him fall and no one like looked over to see. Like part of me was hoping, hey, what if he comes last minute? Like Deus Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but no, that was just Jesus.
Yep. Jesus was Deus Ex Equus.
Yeah.
Jesus, Samurai Jesus.
Yeah.
So did Trips or Ava's death like even mean anything to you guys? Like when it happened, like
at that point I knew, like even at the car thing, I was just like, Trip's gonna die. We had this great moment, he's gonna die. Because out of the rest of the characters, it's like he was obviously, you know, the Star Trek red shirt, you know?
He was the one whose arc had resolved.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, he didn't even mention Eleanor anymore. So it's like, they don't care about each other. They're obviously done.
When talking to Ava on the roof, once, you know, you go up and talk to David.
Yeah.
I was talking to her, like, how she's like, I don't even remember what she said. But the conversation kind of felt like, basically, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you're not gonna stick around.
Nope.
So I don't care anymore. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I feel bad for you as a being that someone created, but like, I have no investment anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Same here. It was like, you're just fodder now.
Yeah.
Fodder for the fire.
Yep.
All right. So fast forwarding a bit to, it comes out that you can, you get to a point to where it's just like you, Kate, David, and Gabe and Clementine. And you have the, and I think earlier, I think David kind of asked you really quick too, but you can stay silent or whatever. So eventually, like, did you come out to David about your non-relationship, or really, like, how did you handle the whole, like, relationship issue with David?
So frustrated. Because I didn't have a relationship. I told him I didn't have a relationship, and he still blamed me for having a relationship.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I'm like, what's a guy got to do to say no?
Yeah, the options there, like, I think the options varied, because I know, like, in this thing that I'm looking at, the important choices, like, their options look different than mine. But, like, mine was, like, one of them was kind of saying that I didn't touch her. One of them said, well, you were gone for a long time. And then the other one said, it's all Kate, I swear. And I'm like, well, a couple of these are correct, but the two that are kind of correct are not going to make David feel any better. Like, there wasn't any to try and be like, David, no, like, it's not, like, I'm not, you know, but I mean, like, you also kind of have to kind of realize that even though you might not have chosen to pursue that relationship, that they were together for a good length of time, and they already had something kind of like, you know, she already kind of liked him beforehand, even before the whole zombie apocalypse, and so it's safe to say that something, you know, sparks would have flown somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's more of the fact that David is realizing, and this was in the AMA that I shared with Alan, that the David is realizing that things aren't the way that they were before between him and Kate. He can't just go back to how things were. It's definitely. I'm mad, so I'm gonna beat the crud out of somebody because I'm mad.
Well, sure. But I mean, it's also blame towards Javi as well. Like, I don't, it's not all about Kate. It's not all about the past. It's also, you know, I mean, he has a beef about his own reality, and with Javi not accepting the reality that David wants him to accept, like with the whole baseball thing. You know, we saw in the flashback that he's constantly egged, Javi on that whole thing about him getting kicked out because of gambling or what have you, and wasting his life and wasting his chances. So Jonathan, how did yours go since you were pursuing a relationship?
Is this the confrontation in the...
This is the big one, yeah.
This is before.
This is right before they fight.
Oh.
In the truck yard in the garage.
Oh, I said that we're in love. And oh. And she kisses. Javi.
Oh yeah. Boy.
Same with me.
And David's like, awkward. What?
Well, this is what made me irritated, because like I said earlier, like, when Kate runs up and hugs me in the beginning, when, like, we find her alive, like, the way it was shot, the way David's, like, animation, it was like, I was like, okay, the wheels are turning. David's not stupid.
Hopefully.
But then later on, he's like, this is where the, like, I put too much faith in the writing. And then on the bridge, you know, he straight up asks, he's like, man, Kate ran right towards you, hugged you. Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
And I'm I remember
and
that.
Like, you kind of like come clean a little bit then. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, dude, ask her. You know, I'm like, you haven't talked to your wife.
I said that. Time. Why don't you ask her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like, you know, during this scene, I'm like, no, as I said, I'm like, we're in love, we kiss, and then he snaps, but which then kind of, I guess, goes into like the, you know, the fight, which, mm-hmm. you know, I did the whole, you know, like he's beat the crap out of me. And I just keep saying, I love you, man. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it was a real heartfelt moment, even though he was trying
which
to
we'll
kill
get at to a couple of seconds. But right now we're talking about the relationship.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I got excited. I'm a
it's
romantic.
All right. It's okay. Yeah. So did anyone with this episode and going throughout the series, did anyone like change their mind about pursuing a relationship with Kate? Like, did anyone, Kevin or Jonathan, did you have any second thoughts about pursuing that? Or because I know that like I, that last episode, and I think like, and it's also goes on like character arcs, like, I, you know, she was alive, Kate was alive, but then like she was, it seemed like she was a completely like kind of a different person. It seemed like all of a sudden like she actually had character, and I kind of liked her this episode when I hated her the other episodes. And so then for a couple of seconds, yeah. I was like, okay, well, you know, especially like fast forwarding kind of a little bit toward the end, but not really covering anything, but like, you know, I was like, okay, well, since this is okay, like, and Kate was still alive in my game, I was like, okay, so we'll pursue a relationship. Like, you know, like, maybe I'll be okay with this. But then it never gave me that choice again. I blew it. Mm. I blew it hard.
Right?
I mean...
Yeah, Frank.
It actually, you know, it was, like, different. And then I'm like, I'm starting to get mad again because it's like, for 85% of this game, you made her... Kate, all about Kate, and just worrying about getting out of her situation with David.
Yeah.
And that just totally, you know, disinterested me. Plus, he's my brother, and I'm not going to do that to my brother, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So now they're going to, you know, just because somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at her and she crashed into a wall and let the zombies in, now she becomes Mother Teresa.
She's a badass. Worried? All of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know. She becomes
still healing
Rambo.
From a gunshot wound.
Yeah, you know, Rambo, I want to redeem myself. Da, 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 da. I'm sorry, the last three pages of the script is not enough time to redeem yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the way I felt.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with that in that, like, I mean, I liked Kate best probably in this episode than the others because, like, she did hardly do anything. She did stuff in episode one, episode two, you know, she shot episode. I don't even remember what she did in the rest of the episodes, but you know, so it's like, other than like wanting to just run off with Javi, you know,
that was pretty much it.
And then getting mad at you for being like, we're not leaving Gabe, your stepson, you know, it's like,
that's the whole banana.
But then, and so it's like, I liked how she like had something to fight for in this one. And she was like her character developed in this episode, but then at the same time, all that hinged on, I'm like, she blames herself for letting all, it's like, if anything, it's almost as if everyone's blaming Kate more than Javi for Richmond falling. And it's like, someone car bombed Kate with a Molotov cocktail. Right. I would blame that on her. It's like the fact she's alive from a car bomb. It's like,
yeah,
I'm like, yeah. Like, it just, that was like the one thing like that just like reminded me of the writing of the rest of the season. It was right. Just like, oh yeah, okay, whatever.
Way too little, way too late.
Yeah, it just seemed like the relationship, and to me, like, at least, and you guys can pipe in, but like, it didn't seem to provide any value to the characters or to the story, like, other than just being a sticking point with the relationship with David later on.
I mean, I like so many other things in this season, it's like this, I feel like the story, like the conflict, like, had potential, but then they didn't do anything with it until like right now, you know. It's like, I think like there was a whole, like, you could have had like three episodes ago, like, they should have dived in more in like why David didn't go back for his family,
right?
You know, and it's like that's hardly touched on, and
that's
like
true.
It's
I like, just Wow.
Yeah, David never went back for his family. Like, it would be one thing if he had went back and you were gone because you left the note. But no, he was just like, no, I couldn't get back on the interstate, so I just went and found my army buddies and found Richard.
Yeah, that was a huge missed opportunity.
So it's like, I feel like that's like, to me, it's like Walking Dead, lost opportunity. That's what this season should have been called.
Yep.
Exactly.
And so,
they could have hinged it all on the letter they left behind. What kind of letter you left behind? And then having him find the letter and, you know, branching off of that, that would have been so much better.
Yeah, for sure.
It should be noted that these episodes went through a bunch of rewrites. They actually rewrote all the remaining episodes after episode 1 and 2 came out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we were all aware of that at this point.
They literally stated that in the AMA because the community reacted a certain way, so they wanted to rewrite the episodes to actually not piss off the fans more, I'm guessing.
Which scares me.
Kevin's quoting an AMA that was kind of rewrote onto Reddit. I would have liked to have seen the original article for that, because they said they found it on the Telltale site at the time. That was eons ago. Well, 2 years ago.
You might be able to find it somewhere.
For sure. So moving on to what happens pretty quickly after that is the fight between Javi and David. There's a pretty big thing, you know, David just kind of starts laying into you. Or laying into Javi, I mean. And you can either fight back or you can take the pacifist route all the way through the fight if you want to. And just say, and I think Javi keeps yelling, "I love you." Like, so, you know, you're choosing not to fight back. So what did everyone choose and why in this situation?
Well, I chose to say I love you. And it worked out in a very comical way.
Yeah.
Because of just how he was saying it and what was happening, it just felt like one of those really cheesy, like supposed to be emotional movie moments.
Oh.
I did that too, and I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it
felt that way a little bit. I have to agree with Kevin on that. It felt that way. I think it should have escalated to the "I love you" part. You know, instead of just repeating that 3 times, it should have been like, in my opinion,
true.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. And then "I love you."
That would have been better.
Or like, "I love you, man.
I love you, brother."
No, that wouldn't have been any better.
Yeah, brother.
So
that's what I'm talking about, brother.
So was there a reason you would take the pacifist route instead of fighting him back?
To me, it was obvious that was like the quote-unquote
what they wanted,
right? Choice. Yeah, it was what they wanted you to do.
Sure.
And so I was like, David is bigger than me and has been punching people longer, so I don't think I would win on a fight with him anyway.
Yeah.
But even still, like, this is what the game wants me to say, so I will say it because I'm trying to get to the end of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, obviously, like I said earlier, I was in the whole like, we could sort this out. We are family, you know. Everyone's gonna live except Trip, you know. It's like that was I was still in that mindset.
And the people that you shot down and called, you know,
they weren't family. They weren't family. I was just kind of like, but also I was just kind of like, really? Is now the time?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I was just like, more like, I'm tired of fighting David. It's like, you forced him to be the antagonist episode like 3 or whatever. It's like, you forced him to be an antagonist when it's like, you should have been building up to this big moment, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, this should have been a much more emotional thing, but it was more like,
yeah,
Javi's better than you, David. Get over it. You
know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you could really have been better.
Like, Javi became like the person that David wanted him to be, like responsible for his family and everything. And then David didn't change at all.
Yeah.
That's true. In this whole
he still stayed as the same kind of bullyish, brutish person that doesn't really know how to truly care for his family.
Which he kind of like says that almost exact thing on the ledge, doesn't he? At least he did mine.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I feel like,
yeah,
it's just the fact that,
yeah,
just how during this fight, how during, like, when you confess your love to Kate, or for me, that's what I did, like, how, like, he snaps, and it's like, to me, this snap came out of nowhere, because it's like, it didn't fit with all the stuff earlier, because it's like, you've already had discussion about how, like, he's trying to change, it's like, he should have already picked up the beats between me and Kate, and the fact that Kate hasn't talked to him at all. It's like none of this should have been that big of a shock that, I mean, that he should go into blind rage.
Yeah, I feel like his crazy really, like they really pushed his crazy side this episode. And just had it like at a nice little simmer the other episode, you know, for the other episodes. And all of a sudden they're like, no, you're going to see how ugly David is. And you're going to see it all in like 10 minutes.
Yep. You're going to see it and you're going to like it.
Even though 5 minutes ago, we just had his like better character development of the series. Yeah. And then we're going to throw all that out the window.
For sure. I kind of felt, and I also kind of felt like I went the full pacifist route, but then like, I kind of thought afterwards, was like, well, do you guys even think that Javi would have even just sat there and let David beat into him that entire time?
He probably did it before all the other times his brother tried beating the crud out of him, like in the first episode, in the sort of flashback. Present day thing.
Well, I think he did it verbally. He never laid into him physically.
He goes and hits him in like the first episode, or at least pushes him to the ground.
Well, pushes him, sure. But things were going crazy then. But
plus the big reason, I guess, to go to the entire, just because the game wanted you to. But I mean, they set it all up with the flashback that you promised the father. That you're always going to be there for your brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I guess I got to do this now.
I mean, if you did that, if you did chose to choose that promise, you know.
I'm sorry, I promised. Yeah. Yeah.
But that wasn't an important decision because it's not on the five. So who cares?
Wow.
But it was in my mind. It was in my mind. They set in my mind.
And it had a little thing pop up afterwards. It said, you kept your promise to your dad.
Yes.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I think I must like have a ratio problem on my screen because I see none of these. Like I saw them in the other seasons, but like I haven't like this entire season, I have been seeing none of the like so and so will remember that.
What?
Wow. I have no idea.
Yeah, you probably unless you're just not looking at the top left of the screen. It is very small. It is
very small. That happened on Gabe's.
Do you need to get your vision checked?
No, I've had that happen on games where the top gets clipped, and a lot of these games don't have a rescale option, which is lazy.
So, are you telling me a Telltale game has some glitches? No way.
Moving on to the next important decision. So the next one is So what happened with you guys with Clementine? Because after all this happened, David drives off with Gabe. I think he does in every scenario. Drives off with Gabe. So what happened at that point for everyone? Because it varies greatly.
Clementine wanted to go wherever I went.
Okay.
But there are like four or five different outcomes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Depending on your behavior towards Clementine.
Yeah. Some Rube Goldberg math going on there. Yeah.
So Frank, what happened in yours?
I decided I was going to be consistent. It's all about familia. So I said, you and Kate go into Richmond. I will go after Gabe and David.
Okay.
I personally went with Kate.
Yeah.
Hmm. Right. Keeping with the love. And I can see that.
Were you going with Kate or were you going because of Richmond, though?
I was going with Kate for Richmond.
Right. So your purpose was
Also because it was dangerous. So
right.
I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go and like leave Kate to like potentially die.
I did the same thing that Kevin did, even without pursuing a relationship, like because in my game, like Clementine was like, I'm going to go after David and Gabe. And so I was like, and so I had the decision of doing what I wanted to do. And so it was either, you know, go with her or stay with Kate. Because for some reason, the game decided that my relationship with Clementine was standoffish, even though I'm like, I supported her throughout the entire series. Hello. But anyways, rant over.
So what did Clementine do in yours?
So I decided to go with Kate because Kate would have been by herself. And so Clementine left to go after David and Gabe on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So this is so interesting. Just the fact, like, this is where all the choices seem to have mattered. With me, when David and Gabe, when David like took Gabe, I forget what, I wish I had paid more attention to the dialogue, but Clementine in mine was like, she's like, I'll go with Kate. I will help her. I will help her and watch her back. You go after Gabe. And like Kate was like on Clem's side. Kate was like, no, Javi, you go get Gabe back. Me and Clem will handle Richmond.
Yeah.
And so yes,
that's what I got. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I trust Clementine and Kate's pretty awesome this episode. So I'm like, I'm going after David and Gabe.
That's so weird. Clementine told me, I will go after whoever you don't go with.
Oh.
Huh.
So, wow. Interesting. Yeah. So I don't know why. I'm trying to remember what exactly she said.
Yeah, something down the line, that, you know.
But she's like, you can go after, like, you can go after David and Gabe, which is what Kate wanted me to do, I think, because I think she was worried about Gabe for once. Or you can go with Kate and help Richmond. And so I wasn't worried about whether Clementine is going to be safe because we know there's a season four.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, that's all right. Even though David is insane, I think that because he took Gabe with him, he would still try and protect Gabe if something happened.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So well, I'm going to go with Kate so she's not by herself.
Yeah.
And in mine, I imagine it's the same for you guys, but in mine, Gabe had originally, before David snapped, Gabe had said he would go with David in mine.
Yeah, in mine as
okay.
well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think it was the fact that David snapped and basically kidnapped Gabe at the end. I went after him, but I have no idea what happens if you go with Kate, but I know.
It depends.
Yeah.
When I was just going to say, like, just to me, the action scene of Javi going after David and Gabe, like, I was like, this is like the coolest part of the, like it was like a pretty awesome action scene to me.
Oh, riding a motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it just felt like almost like Terminator. It's like, yeah, this is This is like, you know, he's like, he drops a bat to the ground and like it sparks and it's like, yeah. Like, it's like Mad Max, I'm chopping off heads with a baseball bat. Nice. And, you know. Nice.
So was the truck wrecked for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Depending on, I think you also, whether or not you stand with David on the ledge determines whether or not David is alive at the end of the episode.
Yes, it does. Well. If you don't stand with him on the ledge, he dies.
And he died.
Yeah, same with me.
Right. Well, I mean,
if you don't,
he can also die. He can also die if you stand with him on the ledge. But if you don't stand with him on the ledge, he definitely dies.
Oh yeah, But I stood with him, and he still died. Again, going back to, it's some Rubik's cube of analysis of your relationships with the three people.
Yeah.
So how does he live?
The only time he lives is if Javi and Clem go over.
After. Gabe and...
Oh.
Right, if your relationship's good enough with Clem, that she chooses to go with you. Right.
That makes sense. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right, yeah. And then I guess I don't know what Kate's fate is in that case, depending on maybe on whether or not you romanced her and supported her. I don't know.
I think...
There is a way they can all live.
Yes, there is a way that they can all live.
No, actually, I tried.
Yes, there is. Well, there is. Mm-hmm. There is a way that Gabe, David, and Kate can all live together.
Yeah.
Gabe and Kate, but not.
No, yes. They all three of them. It's in walkthroughs and stuff, Kevin. Yes. Yeah.
I could have had my big dysfunctional family, and I screwed it up.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, you shot everyone, Jonathan.
I didn't shoot the family ones.
So depending on what you guys chose, I mean, that, you know, whether you went. And I mean, going after, if you went, you know, going after whoever went after David and Gabe, both of them could have lived, or either one of them could have died. Mm-hmm. And then whether Kate lived or died, depending on certain factors. So how, with all this together, without us going into every avenue of where this could be going, how did you guys feel about this whole, like, closing sequence, action sequence before we get into like the very, very end?
As an action sequence,
I liked it. Yeah.
I kind of would have liked it if we had gotten the chance to do the freeform shooting instead of the push the button the
rapid
shooting.
Fire. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Where you're just pushing like Q, E.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, I was just like, nope, let's get it over with.
Yeah. if they had a better like fire, like, you know, aiming system, I would agree.
Yes.
But
yeah.
But it's a little rough around the edges. So with this episode, it seemed like that they had kind of focused on a smaller group of people than in the previous episodes. It seemed a little more focused. But in a way, like, I kind of felt that doing that, it kind of downplayed the outcome of Richmond, even though that was kind of built to be like an important thing. And it seemed to be an important factor in this episode, but it wasn't really, because, like, for instance, like, I went with Kate because, not really because it was Kate, but because I wanted to help save the town. But we went and it didn't really show anything. Like, it didn't show that much. Because Clementine came back, you know, we went to get David's tags because David died and buried them. And it didn't show anything about saving Richmond or stopping the zombies. Like, it went to like three weeks later, I think.
3 days later.
3 days later, it seemed. I was like, yeah.
It showed the fact that all the zombies were gone and everybody was all happy and we're like, we're gonna go.
Kids were playing hopscotch. Yes. It was pretty darn magical.
With colored chalk that they still somehow have, even 4 years after the zombie apocalypse.
I couldn't think that chalk would be in high demand. I would imagine it's pretty.
Yeah, it's still lying around.
No, I meant, but like, how are they going to still have chalk 4 years after?
Well, they could.
But it's not something you loot.
But
you could have used it all up.
Doing what?
So like
playing hopscotch.
Did you guys feel similar about the focus on the storyline? Like, you guys feel that some things were lost in the conclusions of all?
I felt like, you know, this. I mean, granted, like this whole season is called The New Frontier, and it's like they didn't even mention New Frontier in episode one, and then it's like, and then really they don't even really refer to The New Frontier afterwards. It's more of just Richmond, mm-hmm. Richmond, mm-hmm. you know. But and it's like that's where they seem to put the focus on. Like the entire last episode was all about the political drama of Richmond and Joan and all this stuff, and like, and they're hanging David and they're doing all sorts of stuff, and then this episode's like all characters, which it's like, I mean, yeah, it does, like, I mean, basically everything you've been focusing on in Richmond, whatever, you killed Joan, you created an upheaval of the entire political structure here and got tons of people killed with zombies and everything, but hey, we're happy now. You're the new leader, you know. Yeah. So it's like, I did feel like that was pretty like dumb, but at the same time, I felt this episode was like so much stronger than the rest of them because of the characters developing and the character interactions in this one compared to the last one. So it's like it took them to the last episode to realize, oh, I remember where our priorities lie in Telltale Games. The characters, you know, so it's like a bittersweet thing to me.
I think it's, you know, it's a little easy though to have a final episode of a season be moving, and you know, I mean, because you're naturally going to have conclusions of stories, you're naturally going to have big decisions, you're naturally going to have thing, you know, like certain things with the story usually tied up in some way. And so you're going to have that sense of like, okay, well, this was good. Like, this was really like, you know, this left me with kind of good feelings.
That's true.
But it's like, you know, it was kind of like Madeline mentioned in her notes that she sent over, was like, you know, with the whole like haircutting scene between Clementine and Javi, that it felt really like it gave you good feeling because it reminded you of the whole thing, you know, of Lee. And similar to, you know, of back in season one. But then at the same time, it's like they just kind of threw that in there as kind of like, oh, well, this will make you think happy thoughts, because it kind of reminds you when someone was taking care of Clementine back in season one. Remember season one? It was really good. You guys really liked it. So
we're going to ride those coattails.
Here you go. Yep.
We rewrote it for this.
Remember Lee? You remember Lee? Now cry.
Yeah, it's like in end of,
don't think about Kenny.
Like in the end of Saving Private Ryan, where he's like, "Earn it."
They did earn this.
They did not.
They did not. Yes.
And like, so I'm not sure if every ending was the same with Clementine, the very last ending. You know, so for those listening, like after everything happened, you know, it goes to 3 days later. Things are good. Javi seems to be, you know, in charge of the town. You can either choose if you want to. I don't know if it ever, like, just like for mine, I'll just say what happened in mine. So I chose to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to kind of help take care of this town, like, because Jesus was asking me, this place needs a leader. And I was like,
and Jesus, I was like that.
Hey Jesus, I'll be the leader. And then so Clementine left on her own to go and, of course, you know, I guess find AJ, which it never showed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It never shows her finding AJ. She
it never shows
her. Yeah.
Heroic badassery of like head shooting zombies and
on the road,
climbing
yeah.
over the that van in her really weird looking. Yeah, it's a really weird-looking red leather jacket.
I really liked her outfit. I loved her outfit.
It was fancy, but I was like, no way. It's been 5 years. It's been 5 years since the fall. Like,
oh, for sure.
Is she going? Is she going on an interview?
Yeah.
It's not very savvy.
She did look very put together.
Loved the outfit, hated this haircut. Like,
how did you guys feel about? I mean, to me, like, I really wish they would have at least shown some kind of sign of her finding this stupid farmhouse to find AJ. Like, just a hint to be like, oh, there's the farmhouse, and then cut to black. You know? Like,
yeah, I think she knows where the farmhouse is, probably.
Oh, she does.
Well, what if it's in flames? What if it's destroyed? We don't know.
Right. It's because we didn't know if we were going to be around through season four.
Unless some of us have played episode one of season four, we don't know.
Wake up, Chris.
I mean, I think the fact that I know there's a season four and on the cover art of season four is her and AJ.
Sure.
Like, I think because I already knew that, I didn't think about that at all.
If you didn't have it, I would have been like,
if I didn't
what?
Have that,
no,
I would
AJ?
Be kind of...
Like, nothing? Nothing? Are you freaking kidding me? Overturned table. Throw monitor across room.
Also, we never even talked about how apparently David was trying to be a father to AJ. We didn't even talk about that. That was out of nowhere.
I don't even know how to.
I love the little guy.
That was my own son. And again, that was to me another moment that was just thrown in there to help you feel good about the situation and to kind of feel good about David and to,
It could have been written so much better, if they'd even showed any inclination that's what he was doing. But I was still thinking back to when he took AJ and he would say, I knew we should have threw him out in the woods. I'm taking him and keeping him as my own. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. I'm keeping this little person, even though he's a brat.
Yeah.
I'm going to father him out of spite because I don't like you, Clem.
Makes so much evil villain. Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a brat, I tell you. I loved him so much.
That's exactly
when they first invented.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Right. When David said he was a brat, part of me half expected Clem to just shoot him right then.
Yeah.
We're done. Okay. So is there anything, wrapping up, in this episode that we just didn't cover that you would like to talk about in the season as a whole?
Oh, I had Conrad live the entire season.
Wow, that's Kevin deserves an award, guys.
I don't have
anything to send you, but if I did, you would get it.
Yeah, and if he lives the entire season, he's reading a book outside of the
incredible
outside of the church. Let me pull up.
Wait, Kevin.
Incredible.
If Conrad's alive, why the heck does Eleanor hate you in your game?
That trip, Conrad.
The black guy.
Yeah, exactly. If he, in my last conversation with Eleanor, she's still mad at me because she says, I can't forgive you for. She says, I can't forgive you for what you did to Conrad, because that came out in the last episode. Why is Eleanor mad at you at the beginning of this game, Kevin?
Oh, because Tripp's dead.
Yeah. That's why she was mad at me, too, even though Conrad was dead. She was mad at me because Tripp
died. But this is from the book, which is apparently about cowboys. And yet death was not something you could ignore. It had its weight. It seemed to her she had better not form the practice of ignoring death. If she tried it, death would find a way to answer back. It would take another of her loved ones to remind her to respect it.
So,
and he told us to not dog-ear it at all.
Now I'm just curious to, if Tripp lives and Conrad lives, is Eleanor even angry with you? That's what I want to know.
She is, because
so Jonathan, writing. You're gonna have to play the season again just to find out.
Okay. Oh, and one thing I that confused me a little bit about the episode was on the photo board at the end, they showed, unless this kid had a twin brother, the basketball wearing jersey kid that says, oh, it's them, in the very beginning of the episode when you go up to the hospital section where Eleanor is.
Yeah.
He's on the photo board in the church at the end of the episode. So I'm like,
so he died.
So he died. Like, why did he die like halfway through? Like, they had all the, they went and like boarded up the whole zombie thing. And I secured was, all the
maybe he could have already been bit maybe, or something.
Maybe he told Jesus that he didn't want to be in charge.
Literally.
Maybe.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was too distracted by Joan's picture was on that board.
Yeah, I was annoyed by that.
I'm like, hold up.
Some people love
hold him. On a second. I was just like,
cakes, guy. She made really good cakes. Come on.
I would have taken it off the board and burned it.
Yeah. But I mean, we didn't really talk about, like, you know, in my game, you know, I went after David and everything. Kate died, which kind of, in my end, like, it kind of made me mad because, like, you just, oh, you can't find Kate.
Yep. Wait, were you, dead. Did Clementine go after?
Yeah, Clementine went with Kate. And yeah,
that
she,
leaves it up in the air.
Yeah, when where... you reunite with Clem, Clem says, like, after they got the breach fixed, they got separated.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. And, like, if Kate died saving Richmond, like, that's not the problem. I don't have a problem with that, really. But I was upset with, like, just the fact, like, you don't show it. You don't, like, find her, like, getting eaten. You don't find her dead body. You don't find her as a zombie. It's just, like, 3 days later, put her picture on the board, hug Gabe, because Gabe lived in mine. And it's like, and you're just talking about it, and Gabe, like, says, like, oh, I never told her I loved her, you know, even though she was my stepmom. And, like, you have this nice moment with Gabe, and great in character arc with Gabe. But it's just like, and, like, you're sad. But then it's just like, eh.
Okay.
Oh, well. It's been 3 days. Can't find her. She's dead.
Been 3 days.
Instead, I had to go and shoot Gabe in the head because he got bit. God.
Oh, no.
That is a possibility.
Because I went with Kate. So when you go to go and rescue Gabe and David afterwards, David's head is smashed open. And he tried to go and save Gabe from the zombies, but Gabe got bit. And then Gabe goes and gives Clementine the cards and tells her to teach AJ Euchre with his blood-stained playing cards.
Euchre was the card game that...
They played that one time.
Yeah.
I was too busy making out with Kate during that scene.
So,
But
yes,
I mean, I liked how Gabe's character arc ended in mine. Like he like became kind of like the man. Like he was the one who put David down when David got bit. You know, and like it was like this thing. Like, oh, your dad loves you. He would have been proud. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I get.
But also so that, you know, we were talking about the whole, like, Javi cutting Clem's hair scene and how it was like, oh, it's just a throwback to season one and to get you to remind you of Lee. But at the same time, like, I liked it just because in my conversation, because Gabe's still alive, like, Clem says, like, you know, oh, I'll miss hanging out with Gabe, you know, and I had the option to, like, tell her, I'm like, you know, Gabe has a huge crush on you, right? And like I said that, and Clem has this like genuinely like preteen kid going, what? No, he doesn't. And Javi like stops and he's like, oh my gosh, you have a crush on him too. And she's like, no, I don't. And it was like, it's such a genuine, like, to me, like, hey, Clem's finally acting her age. It was like, it's really charming little moment for me.
She did get her period this season, so.
Yeah.
So, but no,
she'll
far for the course.
if you had stayed with Jane and you got the ending where Gabe is dying, she, I think she like, I'm not sure if she kisses him on the cheek or kisses him on the lips when he's dying. But that's only if you stayed with Jane. She held his hand because I was alone at the end of the previous season.
Yeah, because they're girls. Anyways, so moving on. A quick question. This answer is really quick, but like, would you recommend this season to other gamers?
No.
I mean, if they've been a part of the Walking Dead like series, if they like full on loved season one and season two, I would say play season three, but just warn them ahead of time. It's not season one, not season two. Right. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like if you're a completionist, like if you want to know the full story of Clementine, and just if you want that like completionist thing, but like if granted, if you're one of those people that you don't care, you know, like. Like my dad, like when he binges stuff on Netflix, like he'll just pick a random episode in random seasons. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And, you know, my dad doesn't like that's just so that he doesn't pay attention to. Yeah. Like he'll just pick a random episode in the middle. Like he'll be like, it's getting too boring. I'm going to skip a couple seasons. It's like, wait, what? It's like, so it's like, I think it depends. Like naturally, if you've never played any other Walking Dead games, do not start here.
Do not start with season three.
No. Nope.
I mean, actually, no. I don't know. If you start at the bottom, you can only go up.
No.
So I don't know.
No.
You
wouldn't
play anymore. No.
If you start at the bottom, you stay at the bottom.
You wouldn't play anymore.
It would be. It would be a nice social experiment.
If this was the only season that I played and I knew nothing about. I would literally maybe have gotten like half of it before I was like, okay, I'm done.
True. Okay. Yeah. No,
I would never have finished this game.
Yeah, you're right. Because I mean, you can't play this without going through like the little comic book, see what happened in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
So it would have been spoiled anyways. Yeah. No. Never mind. Take back what I say. So, redacted. Yeah.
It's okay.
So
it's okay.
I will say this.
Yes, Chris.
If you're going to be playing the Walking Dead games for the story,
yes,
completely pass over this season.
Season three.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Season four, so far, has zero tie-in whatsoever to season three.
It's like it didn't happen.
That's what I thought.
None of the decisions you made matter. Like they, it's
like delete the game.
It never even existed. Basically, it's it's not really a spoiler because it's like in the marketing and also in the trailer and everything. It starts off with you and with Clem and AJ.
Wow,
what?
That isn't showing up at the farm or anything like that.
Nope, it's just you're showing up in a car. And you're going through to look for supplies.
Oh, no.
How old is Clem now? Like 32?
No, she's I want to say she's probably like 16 at that time at that point.
Okay.
Because AJ has to be, I want to say at least like 6 or 7-ish.
Yeah.
No, okay. No, I'd say more of like the 5 or 6 range.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not quite, maybe a little younger than what Clem was when we met her.
So if you want to know the story behind how Clem got that rad jacket.
That's it.
Like, I don't even think she has the jacket in season four.
Oh, gosh.
I can't remember if she does or not. I kind of came to the conclusion of, and I kind of mentioned in my notes here that is passed over, but like, it's like this season. Because, like, okay, so we started out, you know, last season, second season, we played as Clem. We played as Clementine, made some pretty rough decisions. And then this season, we're playing as Javi with Clem somewhere, you know, here and there. And then, like, so at the end of it, we're like, okay, you know, it's like Clementine's story will continue. So basically, it was about Clementine this entire time.
But you don't actually get to play.
But none of the characters. Like, it's like, okay, so... Like, none of them made an impact on anything. Like, other than Richmond still being there, it's like nothing.
Yeah, I think... Okay, so I think probably the best aspect to, like to tell people, like, in the future, it's like, think of this as, like, a DLC spinoff, like...
Yeah, I could see that, sure.
Like, season, like, you don't have to play it, but if you want to play it and, like, have Clem cameo,
so if they,
it's not as good, but...
So, yeah, I mean, that would have been a good way for them to do it, was to actually just make it, like, just like the... Because I think the Michonne story, I think, I haven't played, but I think it's shorter. I think it's, like, what, like, mm-hmm. 3 episodes or something?
Yeah.
So, like, if they would have, like, taken this and, like, condensed it, you know, and tightened it up a bit... I don't think, but like there was so much that I think that could have just been like just chopped off and just cut off.
Yeah.
And if still kept the intact, like, you know, whatever, if you wanted to know these people, whatever. But, you know, yeah. So I get what you're saying. I agree. But yeah. So we'll get into scoring, final scores, as well as your final thoughts. Also, if you want to, like, say, like, if you had, like, a make or break moment in this game, or in this season, I mean, you know, something either, you know, a moment that either was like, okay, this season is worth it, or either, okay, this moment right here, like, I'm done. Like, this season will never be worth being there. You can say that as well in your final thoughts. So, final scores, final thoughts, or make or break moment, if you have one. So starting at the top with Frank.
Well, yeah, if I had to recommend or tell people about the Walking Dead series, I'd have just show them a graph of like season one at about 8, season two at about 7, and then season three around low 6.
Yeah.
But this season... the first 4 episodes were all hanging around the 6 or below mark, and the last episode tried to redeem it and came in about around, I would say, about a 7.5, but maybe 7.3, you know, 7.75, but unfortunately it still averages out to like 6.75, and just for all the reasons we have talked about, the first 4 episodes of just chaotic, strange writing, and the illusions. Maybe take that back, about illusion of choice, because apparently there was some Rubik's Cube stuff going on in the background that determined who lived and who died at the very end. So God knows how that worked, because it seemed like some sort of mathematical process with your relationships that added up to a magic number, which determined whether or not, you know, they, because, you know, I was iffy on Clem, you know, at times. So that might have had an effect. Same thing. And Kate, I was just consistently like not interested. So that probably sealed her fate. But
yeah.
And one last thing, I don't know how we didn't talk about it. I had to tell Jesus that I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
I like you, Jesus.
I don't know.
That part, like, it was one of those things, like, I wasn't paying attention. I was like kind of writing down my thoughts, and I said, like, I started talking about his armor or whatever, and then it was like, wait, did Jesus just hit on me?
Because he got
all sad when I started talking about his armor. He was like, oh.
That's kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
what it felt like, honestly.
Yeah, I was I double-taked. I was just like, I think Jesus just hit on me.
Yeah.
And I rejected him.
And did that happen in the real TV series? I mean, did he go all samurai in the...
No.
Well, no. his people group... No, he was from the Hill Place. There is a group of people...
Yeah.
In the Walking Dead series, mm-hmm. that dress like that and ride horses,
yeah,
they're really cool.
Yeah,
but granted, I don't know if like in the comics, because the game's set in the comic universe, so I don't know.
Right.
Well, I haven't read the comics.
The thing is, too, is that, you know, the Hilltop, Alexandria, and the Kingdom kind of all combine forces, and then people kind of mix and match the armor that comes along, so.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That sounds interesting, actually. Sounds more involved and interesting than the TV series.
Next.
For me, I don't know. It ended on a high note. I think like we all kind of agreed on that, but like not high enough. Like it was like after I finished playing it, like it's almost like the same as watching like a long movie. You know, it's like whether it was a like great or if it was like an okay movie. It's like if it's a 3-hour movie and you sat through it all, like at the end, you're emotional. Whether it's like good emotions or bad emotions, like at the end of this journey, you're emotional. And so I was like, and I finished this, I was like, oh, that was nice. That was nice. Kate died. That was bad. But then it was like, when I went to bed, I was just like thinking about it. And I'm like, but Eleanor didn't make any sense. Why did Jesus come and save me when the last thing Jesus said to me in the last episode was, you have no love for the human heart, or what? Like, he said something mean to me and he hated me and didn't trust me. So like, but now he's back and he's hitting on me. What? Like, so it didn't like there was still tons of writing faults in this. And then I just remember how mad I got back in like episode 3 or episode 2. I don't even remember which one made me so mad that like, yeah, it's like, it's blurred together. It's just, like I said, this is like the lost opportunities. It's like this could have been such a great thing if they just tweaked the writing, but then it's like now we know they like were rewriting each episode as they were putting it out.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm thinking I wanted to go higher, but just like, just the way like they've forced you to be antagonizing to David, like how they force like David's a jerk. David's a jerk. In case you forgot, David's a jerk. Oh, here's a flashback. In case you didn't know, David's a jerk. You know, it's like, and then it's like, oh, but he's your brother. Have sympathy for him now. And it's like, ah, so I was gonna say 6.5, but I'm gonna go down to a 6.
All right, next, Madeline.
So I was trying to think of what I've rated games in the past and figure out where I liked this game versus those. Yeah. While episode 5 was definitely the best of the series, I feel like they honestly were trying to write off their coattails for stuff that they didn't put in the work for in this episode. And also it was mostly too little too late, and that really just kind of made me angry. Why? Just a waste. I think I gave Thimbleweed Park a 5, and so I liked this a tiny bit better than that, so I'm going to go with a 5.5.
Okay. All right. Chris, are you wanting to score?
Yeah. So, like I said before, this was a weird game within the series because it didn't really tie into any of the other stuff except it had Clem in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we'd brought it up before in the past where it was just like you're thrown into the lives of these other characters. You don't know who they are. You haven't been given a good really introduction or really given enough time to kind of feel anything for them. And then here comes Clem, where we've been with her for the past two seasons. We've watched her grow a little. We've played as her. And then you have these decisions that you're supposed to make. And basically, because you already have this relationship with Clem, mm-hmm. you're pretty much going to be making the decisions to make Clem happy and forget right. everyone else, because it's like, why do they matter? And I don't think this game did a good job of actually explaining why these new characters matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So,
yep.
and I don't know. I enjoyed the game for what it was, but in the overall big picture of the whole Telltale Walking Dead Clem's story, because it's basically Clem's story, this is just kind of a weird side, like, fork in the road, basically, that I don't know, that you probably should have taken the other fork instead of this one.
Yeah,
because yeah. it just makes no sense when you look at the broader picture of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, that's the unfortunate thing too, because you don't get invested with these characters, and especially with like the fourth season out here now, it makes it even more disappointing, I guess, or mm-hmm. or just like really
pointless.
Really nails down the effect of I don't care about these characters right. because they don't matter overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because of that, and that there really wasn't any dogs in the game, I'd give it a 6.
All right. And Kevin had to deck out for his D&D game, but he said that he thought the game was okay, that he liked parts of it, but not others. He felt that some of the character arcs were well thought out, but others were cut and failed. And he gave it a 7 out of 10. As I said, like, usually, like, I can sit down to my game chat parts every week, to my, you know, to the episodes that we're playing or the parts that we're playing, and feel excited, feel happy while playing them, feel excited to play them, to sit down to play them, and I just never felt that past episode one with this season. Well, kind of with the last episode, because I knew things would probably start getting tied up, and yeah, I was just wanting to see how they ended this.
Because you wouldn't have to play it again.
Probably. That was probably part of it, yes. And I just didn't feel it. And so that tells me a lot about how much I liked it. And just, like, there were just so many story things that just got on my nerves. And again, like, as Chris was saying, like, I sat at the end of it and I was like, what was even the point of the season? Like, why... Why is Clementine even here? Like, you know, like, this seems like the most, like, she went there to find AJ, but then, like, that should have just been, like, a side thing, and then before she continued her journey. Like, it just, yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to give it, I think a 5.5. I think I'll go with that. Yeah. Yeah, which is probably one of my lower scores in this in game chat. Just because of how it fit in, of how it didn't fit in with anything else in the series, and how it just took characters and just put them into weird situations and tried to control the player with, like, how they feel about certain characters, and completely took character arcs and just completely trashed them. And yeah, so there you go. So anyways, I will combine these with my powers. I will combine these scores together and create a nice little graphic that I will share on Discord and our Facebook group. I mean, looking at it, it's probably like somewhere between a 5 and a 6 total, probably on 6. So next week we are talking about our month chat game, which is Dreamfall: The Longest Journey. Month chat games are games that take a little bit longer and aren't really split upable very easily. Yeah, I've played an hour of it.
Oh gosh.
I guess we all know what you're doing this week.
There's going to be a day that I'm just going to have to sit down and play Dream's Longest Journey. Yeah. But this happens every freaking month. So, yeah. So next Tuesday, November the 6th, we'll be discussing that as a whole. And then on November, for 2 weeks after that, I have it here, 13th and 20th of November, we are talking about Solo, which is a nice little single player romp. It's an introspective puzzler set in a gorgeous and surreal archipelago.
Archipelago.
There you go. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I was raised in a hollow. Reflect on your loving relationships by exploring contemplative dream-like islands. Good God. That was developed this year by Team Gotham. So it looks interesting. So we'll be splitting that up into two parts. I'll tell you what parts, but later. Anyways, so again, thank you guys. If there's listening, you can find us at thegamechat.net. Also, our recordings can be found on Google Play, Stitcher, as well as iTunes. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, at thegamechat, as well as Facebook, Discord, everywhere. Yeah. So thanks again, guys, and I will chat at you next Tuesday. Bye.
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 Bye.